This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Alfred Conaway, Nate Milton, and Marcus Vanderberg. So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports podcast hosted and produced by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the godfather, Nate Milton, joined by earthquake survivor, big nasty Alfred Conaway, and not Marcus Vanderberg. Marcus is probably ducking and covering right now. Either that or he's at the office. So in his place, we tapped friend of the program and fellow team light skin member, Dennis Black and Asian, to fill his shoes for this week. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I thought you were going to go Ric Flair there for a second. Not Marcus Vandenberg. Not the Freebirds. Not the Road Warriors.
Not Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker for all you black folks out there.
Oh, man.
Yes, memories. But real quick, Alfred, yeah, like I alluded to, there was an earthquake out in your neck of the woods just a little while ago. Are you okay? Is the Conaway compound secure?
I'm doing fine. My vitals are checking out perfectly. Lil Nasty is doing fine as well. Everything is okay. But we had a very big earthquake a couple of weeks ago. That was bigger than the one we just had. But this one was pretty, it was noticeable. It was noticeable enough to kind of trend on Twitter, I believe, Dennis. And so it looks like a big one is coming, like the earthquake that people should get lost and all that stuff. So it's only a matter of time before the big, big one comes, and I'm not looking forward to that.
You better have your water wings on at all times because you got to be able to float soon.
I'll have to look into that.
Do people still have earthquake parties out there?
I'm sure they do. There's rapture parties. People will find a reason to party outside.
I
mean,
that was the big thing when – when I lived in San Diego, I was a little bit younger than, I think I was in the ninth grade at the time. And like the seniors and their older brothers and sisters would always have these earthquake parties. And it seemed very cool just, getting up in a house and drinking and getting into all sorts of nefarious means and enjoying the earthquake.
I could imagine. There's no reason to party around an earthquake. You need to be prepared for it, and you need to have insurance, and that's about all you need to do to celebrate an earthquake.
Captain Safety over here. What's the cat from 24? Dennis, what's his real name?
Oh, Kiefer Sutherland.
To play Serrano, and play President Palmer.
Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah. Okay. We got Mr. Allstate over here.
I know.
Allstate plan, you need your insurance. To protect you from mayhem.
Underneath the table.
Yeah. Let's go from the mayhem to the madness. The second week of the NCAA men's basketball tournament kicked off, and we just got finished watching two pretty good games. Michigan State advanced over the Virginia Cavaliers, and I hate Kentucky. I really do. Like we spent so much time last week, Alfred, talking about the one and dones not being a formula for success. But in a situation like this, all you have to do is survive in advance, and you know it's one game, one day, and we see what happens out there on the court.
Absolutely, and they're in the most brutal bracket or the region in the entire tournament. You're seeing that now. A lot of people had Louisville winning the whole entire thing, and now Louisville's been bounced in favor of Kentucky, who had a one and done, have a lottery draft pick in Julius Randle, and it's going to be a very, very tricky team to get out. I mean, you saw what they did with Wichita State, which is a game that could have gone either way, and I don't think Wichita State was a fraud. They could have gone just as far as Kentucky did, but Kentucky is that team right now, and I think they're going to be extremely dangerous.
Now, Dennis, we know You're a Duke fan, which is why you probably didn't join us last week. You were in mourning. Have you recovered? And what has been your thoughts of the tournament so far?
Well, you know, I've kind of gotten used to Duke losing to double-digit seeds now, so it just stings for a little bit, then I'm over it. But, yeah, this definitely has been – I think people say it every year, but this definitely has been the most unpredictable tournament, I think. There's just so many lower seeds that have advanced now, and so many of the mainstays that are there every year are gone. So it's kind of hard to really – look at somebody and say, okay, yeah, this team's definitely going to win it now. Because you'd like to look at the one seeds that are remaining and say they're going to win it, but who knows?
I mean, Arizona, I think, looks like the one seed that may have it together more than everybody else. But, I mean, I could just as easily see Michigan State going there and you know, win the entire championship. So I don't know what it means to be a one seed right now, but I do know that the four of them, I believe, are still intact. So, I mean, they're at least living up to the billing.
Yeah, I'm still going to ride with Michigan State. That was my pick from the beginning. Anybody that listens to the show knows that Alfred did not have any picks, Dennis. Not a right pick, not a wrong pick. No pick at all.
Lawsuit is pending. So, you know, be very careful. My lawyer's listening.
Like, I have not seen a bracket like that in forever. Like, just nobody advances.
It's the zombie bracket. Nobody survives to advance.
No, nobody survives to advance. We will be talking zombies a little bit later with Alfredo Torres when he comes in the house. But quick, like I asked you last week, and like I'll probably ask you again if we do a show between now and the championship game. Are you sticking with your prediction, Brother Alfred?
Absolutely. I feel great about Florida. I mean, I was a year away. I picked them to win it last year, but now they're the team that I thought they were going to be last year. They've grown into themselves. I don't think there's any stopping Florida.
Who you got, DBA?
Well, my sister went to Florida, so I'm kind of pulling for them, but I hope Dayton wins it all, to be honest with you. I just don't care about anybody else that's in there. I hate Kentucky. I hate UConn. Michigan State, you know, they're all right, but I don't want anybody to win.
And I'm sticking with Michigan State. There's no team that I really like left in the field, but I'm going to go with Michigan State. And that pains me to say it because not only did they beat Virginia tonight, but I have a feeling that Jemele Hill is a sore winner. So if Michigan State happens to win this championship, we're never going to hear the end of it on the mothership.
Unless she gets canceled.
You're always about somebody losing their job. In this economy, man, we're recovering from a recession. You got Coach O fired. You're calling for D'Antoni's job.
Gotta sell it out, man.
Who's next, Alfred? Who's next?
I'm not gonna say. I don't want anybody else to get fired. Very evil power that I have.
Oh well, let's go from the college court to the NBA hardwood, and probably the biggest story of the week, other than the impotence of the 76ers, is the importance of Heat versus Pacers. I was kind of proud of that segue right there.
Very, very nice.
Not bad.
not too shabby for 12:30 in the morning. But yeah, Heat Pacers had a big, much hype, much ballyhoo primetime matchup this past week, which the Pacers were able to escape with that victory. I still don't think it changes anything. I mean, the Pacers should maintain home court advantage. They should win. But even so, I mean, I think the Pacers can beat anybody in a one-game situation. But in a seven-game series, I would still, even at this point, probably go with the Heat in a head-to-head matchup.
I would too. I think that type of series, when it boils down to it, if you get to a seven-game series, if you get to game seven, comes down to intangibles, and I think it's stuff that we've seen Paul George kind of unravel based on stuff that's happened out of the court. And we've seen his head hasn't been straight at certain points. And that's something that alarms me in a series that's going to be so close physically that it's going to take the intangibles that are going to make the difference. And I just love seeing these two get together because they do hate each other. And you always see it get physical. And it's just such a different atmosphere. And with all the terrible basketball that's being played in the Eastern Conference, to see these two teams play, it reminds you that there is talent atop the East that is just 10 times better than anything you're going to see out of there.
Yeah, and I think Indiana, they need to do it this year. They need to slay that dragon of Miami this year, because if they don't, they're going to end up being like the New York Knicks of the 90s, to where they could never get past the Bulls, and then once Michael Jordan was out of the way, they couldn't find a way to win a title because they just had that psychological block in their mind that always made them lose in the end. So the Pacers, they got to watch out, or else they're going to fall into that same trap.
And the thing about the Pacers, to me, I think they're a very well coached young team. I think they got a pretty impressive roster. I just don't know if they have that championship heart yet. And that's something that, you know, you alluded to Michael Jordan. It took Michael Jordan getting his head kicked in by the Pistons, you know, three or four playoffs in a row to finally say, okay, this is what it takes to win in the postseason. And then it was his turn to beat on the next team. And I still don't think at this point, you know, we talked a couple episodes ago about Paul George looking for LeBron to be his big brother and his mentor. You know, but I don't see the Pacers as a unit having that kind of killer instinct yet, which you need, you know, at this stage of the game.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It comes down to killer instinct. And I just don't see this Pacer team. Maybe they do have it. And I can definitely see them beating the Heat. Maybe not even in seven games. Maybe they'll just turn it up and they'll be able to take advantage and steal a game at home or on the road and come back to game six and take it. But I just don't trust the Indiana Pacers. And that's just what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, I think they need for the person to have the killer instinct, it's got to be somebody besides Deshaun Stevenson. You know, it's got to be somebody that's actually going to, Lance Stevenson, excuse me. But, yeah, they need Paul George to be that guy. And I'm not necessarily sure he's that guy.
No, I don't think so. I think the closest person they have, besides Stevenson is maybe Hibbert. Maybe. And he's in the low post, so he really can't affect the game from an offensive standpoint as much as a player like a Paul George.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you mentioned a Deshaun. I think that was like a Freudian slip right there, Brother Dennis, because you knew where we were going to close out the A block with. And you also mentioned you got to be a killer to have that killer instinct.
Wow.
I'm not saying Deshaun is a killer. I'm just saying he might know some killers. I'm saying he's not a killer, but don't push him, like Tupac once said. He might have killers on the payroll. With 401k plans. But Deshaun Jackson, who, what was it, 2 days ago, was like, man, I'm so happy to be here in Philly. And he's posting all these pictures on Instagram with Coach Chip Kelly, and they was having a good time. And 2 days later, Big Nasty, he gone.
He gone, indeed. Yeah, it's just such a very wildly developed story. What happened is that there was a report that Deshaun Jackson did have ties to, you know, gang affiliation. He was associated with a rapper who had gang ties and was associated with a gang murder,
but was it Drake?
No, it was not Drake. Close, like, but no.
Just hold on, we're going home, Deshaun.
Well, he's getting home now. But yes, and he also has, and here's a kind of interesting caveat of the story, is Deshaun Jackson is an entrepreneur and owner of his own record label called Jackpot Records. And when the FBI was investigating him, Jackpot is spelled J-A-C-C-P-O-T Records. And I'm saying that because a lot of Crips don't use the terminology CK because that stands for Crip Killer. So that tipped some investigators off that he might have gang affiliations by the spelling of his record label. But it all boiled down to a report that was set to come out about Deshaun Jackson and his affiliation to gangs. And that led to clearly the Eagles panicking 35 minutes after this report came out and cutting Deshaun Jackson as they were shopping him around for a trade. Now, the Eagles have come out and said, or I believe there have been statements made, that the Eagles cut DeSean Jackson because they didn't want to unload his problems on other teams. Bullshit. If they knew that there was a sucker out there who would take those problems, they would get rid of him. I think it's the opposite, that they didn't want to trade DeSean Jackson because they knew that if he's associated with gangs, which harkens back to Aaron Hernandez and what's going on there, no team would want to touch him. So he might be blackballed from the NFL just for the time being. Dennis, I'll throw it over to you. What do you think about this whole story, gang relation, who's right, who's wrong? A lot of NFL players coming out and discussing what they think, but what do you think?
Well, I think the Eagles were just looking for a reason to get rid of him, honestly. I don't think Chip Kelly and he really got along. He'd been critical about the offensive scheme, even though he pretty much had his best season since he's been with the Eagles. Last year, I guess he's not really comfortable with that style of offense. So I think they were looking for a reason. And when that popped up, you know, they said, well, you know, let's cut our exposure as much as possible. And they went ahead and took the opportunity to go ahead and cut ties with him.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Dennis. Like, this had to be something more than just a hint, rumor, or an allegation, because you just don't unload a guy like that without trying to get something back in return. And as much of a headache as he can be, he is still, you know, one of the most exciting players in the league. Still can be one of the most productive players in the league. But he's also a head case. So I think that, you know, this is that kind of situation where he's going to have to keep a low profile for a while, and I'm not sure if he knows how to do that. And I do think that this is another reason why I have been kind of very quietly saying to my Eagles fans out there, my friends that are Eagles fans, maybe you should kind of lower those expectations for this season for a couple reasons. Number one, as great as Napoleon Dynamite was last year, people in the NFL aren't stupid. Coaches got tapes, DVRs, PVRs. If you're the Patriots, you got two men up in the rafters shooting down, taking footage. So they know this kid. They're going to figure him out this year. And so that's one element of it. The other element that I think is going to play into this is, where are your weapons? Where are your weapons? You got Shady McCoy, but who'd they pick up? They picked up my man from the Saints, right? Big Nasty?
Yeah.
Sproles.
Sproles.
Yeah, they picked up Sproles, which is a quality replacement for D-Jack if you're going to get rid of him. But I don't see, like, I've never been a Jeremy Maclin guy. I've never been a Jason Avant fan. I'm definitely not a Riley Cooper fan, especially after last year. You know, I think that those are guys that can be quality, you know, number three starters in terms of your receiving core. But when one of those guys has to be your number one receiver, you're not exactly deep at that position.
Okay, but it doesn't. Listen, I think you're focusing on the wrong thing. I don't think it matters if you're a Riley Cooper guy or a Jeremy Maclin guy or even DeSean Jackson guy. DeSean Jackson is way more expendable than anybody's giving him credit for. Everybody's looking at the numbers he had this year. What exactly was he doing before Chip Kelly comes to town? Because that's what matters. I'm a Chip Kelly guy, and Chip Kelly knows that DeSean Jackson is a man he made into a superstar based on his ingenious offensive scheme, which translated from college into the pros. Bill Belichick and the NFL began borrowing from Chip Kelly in college and what was he doing, and he has had a profound impact not only on college sports but in the NFL. So he can go out there and sign me off the streets, and I'm going out for 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns. And he's got what it takes. He made a career year out of Riley Cooper, who was a nothing happening receiver before this past year when Riley Cooper was scoring touchdowns it seemed every other week. Nick Foles is an above average talent at best. And he is turned into Joe Montana under Chip Kelly.
Let me say the two words or five words that will strike fear into the hearts of Eagles fans. Nick Foles injury, ... Mark Sanchez.
You know what? And guess what? Mark Sanchez would tear it up too. I wouldn't be scared at all. People need to be thankful that they have Chip Kelly in an era where wide receivers everywhere. Eric Decker, you're going to see what kind of receiver he really is. wide receivers are able to go off at all. It's easier to play wide receiver this year than ever before, and you've got a genius and head coach who will get the best out of every single one of his players. So the fact that DeSean Jackson got cut, I guarantee you in the final hour, Chip Kelly just said, you know what, I can make another DeSean Jackson. You know, it's like Rockefeller Records, in that he, Daisy left Dame Dash, and every
they're pulling the plug on him.
Jay-Z shut him down.
I know.
You guys hear me?
Jay-Z shut you up, man. He's like, I'm sorry. What you want me to do?
On to the next one.
You big nasty. You crazy for this one. You're not tuning into the world's greatest. I get the point that you're saying that, you know, anybody in that offense theoretically can flourish, big nasty. But I will take your Rockefeller analogy and give you a Temptations analogy, Dennis. I know you've probably seen that Temptations movie.
Yeah, with what's his name, Cuba Gooding Jr.
No, not the fighting Temptations. I'm talking about the Temptations that miniseries. VH1 plays it all the time with the guy from the Five Heartbeats in it.
Yeah. Oh man, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Yeah, but the big thing in the Temptations movie is David Ruffin gets kicked out of the group, and he's like, Temptations without David Ruffin, y'all ain't nothing. Y'all yes. Gonna be some Temptations in search of a David Ruffin. And I think that's, you know, DeSean Jackson, he's a headache, he's a knucklehead, but he does have talent that exceeds, you know, a lot of other guys at that position, especially for those big plays. You know, you go back to that 2010 season when Mike Vick was tearing it up. You know, DeSean Jackson was that primary receiver. So I think if this legal stuff is, you know, if he's clear to this, I think some team might be able to find a bit of a bargain, because he's not going to be able to command a huge salary coming out of this.
Yeah, and he does have, like you said, he has a knack of finding his way behind the safeties. And if he can do that, somebody can bring him in on, you know, second or third down, not as their primary receiver, pay him a low salary and just bring him in on specialty packages. You know, he's going to rise again and be a dangerous weapon for somebody out there.
Yeah, and all I
hopefully not in the NFC East.
Yeah, and hopefully not on the streets of Compton.
Yeah.
All I'm gonna say is, in the wise words of Michelle A., stop the violence, because we all in the same gang. Shout out to Jamie and Bill at Mr. Throwback Thursday. But it looks like my argument was so succinct. That's a Freudian slip right there. So succinct, baby. So succinct. So succinct that Big Nasty was actually quieted for a change.
That's not true.
Oh!
And you know it's not true. And you know it's not true. I could have come back a second too soon.
Well, you came back just in time for us to wrap up the segment. And he's gone. We'll see if he comes back or if the earthquake got him. But Dennis and I will be back because coming up next, we're going to sit down and have a chat with the great Alfredo Torres from Torres vs. Zombies. So stick and stay. More Kings of Sport right after the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
What's that?
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
It's
So you've got the script, yeah? You've all got it?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Let's go!
And we are back on the Kings of Sport. The show rolls on. Nate Nasty here. Got Dennis Black and AD holding down Marcus' spot. And I don't know about you fellas, but Alfred, I got a sneaky suspicion that when Marcus says he's out, he's on assignment, he's working at the office, he only seems to do that when we got Puerto Ricans in the house.
That is a rumor, and I don't want to start anything, but I have heard that Marcus will not work with Puerto Ricans. That was the case last time Alfredo Torres was on the show, and this time we have Puerto Ricans in the house, and Marcus is nowhere to be found. So go.
You know what, sir? Let me know. You know what? Let's cut the shit. All right? Let's shoot it right now. You want wrestling? You want a legit wrestling shoot? Hit a legit shoot. Marcus, I am here. I'm in Norfolk, Virginia. You got a problem with me? You got issues with me? You give him my number. You call Marcus.
So by now you certainly recognize that voice. If you don't know, now you know. It is the one and only Alfredo Torres, host of Torres vs. Zombies. You may know him from the Mike and Bob show, and he is making a return visit to sit down with the Kings. Brother Torres, good to have you, my man. What's going
what
on?
What is going on? Nothing much, Brother Nate. First of all, I want to say hello. I want to say thank you to Alfred for hanging out with us again, because I know you're not against Puerto Ricans.
No, not at all. We both share the same name, so you know we're basically family, Uncle Alfred.
That's exactly right. And I want to say what's up to Dennis, who lives 6 miles away from me, and I haven't talked to him in 3 years, and I get to talk to him on the podcast.
You know, it's always wonderful to hear your voice, Alfredo.
You know, Dennis, if we were on a podcast right now, I'd have no pants on while you talked. Did that make this weird? I don't want to make it weird, but I'm in my underwear thinking of you.
I appreciate that, my friend.
Yeah, we got like a little satellite peripheral Mike and Bob show kind of deal here with Dennis and Torres and myself. It's like the Justice League with Superman and Batman on around. It's just like Blue Beetle and fucking Blue
Black Bowl. Lightning.
Yes,
it's Black Lightning. It's who was the Indian guy who grew him?
The Green Lantern was black on that.
It was Black Lightning. Dennis would be the Asian Tornado, and Torres would be Samurai. What was the guy? It was a Spanish dude.
That was a Mexican. Because if you go to TV, it's only Mexicans. There's no other
Montezuma or something.
No, El Dorado. El Dorado.
Yes, because that's what Mexicans drive is El Dorados.
He has like a hat shaped like Machu Picchu or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, exactly. It was a Speedy Gonzalez type of hat or something like that. I don't. But you notice that the white Batman and the white Superman and the white Wonder Woman aren't here.
No, they got more important things to do.
They got real things to do. so they sent the B members, the B team.
Yeah, it was like they'd always had like this the real heroes at the one thing. Then they come on a little speaker. It's like there's an escaped gorilla from the Gotham Zoo. Like for real.
Meanwhile, in Central City.
Meanwhile,
in South Central,
I gotta go fight Lex Luger. Hey, El Dorado, why don't you take care of the fucking escape gorilla? Yeah, you know what, Superman? I'll take care of him because I know you gotta save the world. So I'll save these three kids from getting mauled by this gorilla.
Yeah,
Gorilla Grodd? No, not Gorilla Grodd. Just a gorilla.
Just a gorilla.
Just a regular gorilla. No, yeah, Flash has got gorilla gorilla grind. I'll take care of this ape that just escaped.
Take care of the Asian gorilla that's just lost. Just get him back in his cage.
It's a panda bear.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is. It's not even a gorilla, it's a panda.
Yeah.
Hey, El Dorado, you want to take care of this panda?
Yeah
sure.
I'm going crazy.
Yeah, I don't have any fucking real supervillains. Yeah, I'll take care of the fucking panda. Fuck you. Sorry I keep cursing. I keep thinking it's my podcast.
Hey,
I forget.
When Marcus is away, the rules get lax.
Well, you know what? I forget that, you know, people have, you know, people like you guys have real listeners. You know, I do my podcast for four people, three of them who don't listen.
Hey, well, that one person's been listening for 3 years. You guys chugging them out, churning them out. And I assume this is going to be a big week for y'all coming up with the Walking Dead finale. A lot of people have kind of been down in this season. What have you been thinking about it, brother?
Here's what I was ready to give up on it. I'll be honest with you. You know, they had a period of 3 weeks that were really, really slow. Nobody gives a shit about Daryl fucking dealing with a 16-year-old Beth, which is what she's supposed to be. When Axel was hitting on Beth, everybody thought he was a creepy old man. Daryl hits on Beth, and it's cute. No, you know what? He's a racist redneck who apparently is either gay or has never gotten laid. You know?
Could be
you guys
both.
There? It could be both. I really, you know, essentially he's a punk. I don't give a shit what anybody says. He was his brother's bitch. And now that his brother's dead, he doesn't know how to act.
Speaking of dead, who's going to die? Because it's a finale, and people I hear have been killed off left and right on Walking Dead. So who's going to die this time?
Oh, my God. It's so – I personally – I think Beth has got to go. I think she's going to go. Her or Ben? Ben is the African-American
– Isn't his name Bob?
Bob, I keep saying, yeah, you know it is Bob. I keep calling him Ben. I don't know why,
but I
constantly call him Ben. But it's Bob, and I think he might die, only because we've just given enough of a shit about him.
Oh, is that the guy that was in Woodcrest?
No, he was the loner who's been with two other groups
I'm thinking of what is it, Tyrese or Tyreek?
Yeah, Tyrese ain't gonna die, but his sister might. That would be it. Who I'm hoping dies is Judith, the baby. the baby got it. Baby's got to go. Baby's got to go.
Yeah, I did hear your most recent episode and how disappointed you were that the wrong kid died.
Yeah, the wrong kid died. The baby has to. You don't understand. Okay, I write for the Zombie Research Society. Okay, 200,000 members worldwide or some shit like that. And they banned an article that I wrote in which the only article that's ever been banned by them, that they outright refused to publish. And it was where I called for the debarking of babies. And for those of you who don't know what that is it's something they do to dogs. They cut their vocal cords so they can't make any noise. And I believe that should be done to babies during the apocalypse, because otherwise, what babies become is a chow bell for zombies. Which is why I believe Judith, the baby, should be dead. She cries, zombies come. You chuck her to the zombies. You move on. Trust me, you won't hear her cry for long.
Is there any other type of solution? Because, you know, you actually, as heinous as that sounds, I understand the point you're making, but is there any other type of solution to where babies could possibly be muzzled that doesn't involve them being debarked or?
No, absolutely. You gotta understand, anybody who has a child will understand this. Babies communicate by crying. They have different cries. They're hungry. They cry one way. They're in pain. They cry another. They need their diaper changed. They cry another. They're bored or they want to play. They cry another. Now listen to the constant word I said in that little rant. They cry. They cry. They cry. Crying attracts zombies because crying is noise. Noise is loud. noise attract zombies. That's all a baby does is cry. So, and of course, a baby doesn't have a regular schedule. So it's not like you got to deal with it for 8 hours and then the baby goes to sleep. And so you get to sleep. No. Babies cry when they want to cry. They don't give a shit about the time. They don't give a shit that there's 1,000 zombies outside your door. So if you don't want to cut its vocal cords, chuck it to the zombies. It's that simple. Your silence says that you're...
Oh, yeah.
No, I got DeBark. We just got DeBark.
We just got DeBark.
Did you guys not hear it? Did it not record, or did you not...
No, that's, it's very interesting. It's just that,
this is the second two appearances in a row you've left us stunned. I think the same thing happened last time.
It's something like that, yeah. I don't remember what it was, but yeah. I'm going to be talking about Siena College going to the finals in the CBI.
Oh, yeah. College hoops. I'm watching the – what am I watching? I'm watching some game right now. I don't really care who it is. But second week of – yeah, it's Louisville, Kentucky. I hate Patino and
– Izzo? No, that's
Calipari.
Calipari, yeah.
Yeah, I hate both of those guys. But, yeah, like I think a lot of the smaller schools, the NIT schools and the – what's the other one? The
CBA. Yeah, the CBA. No, you know what? I just found out Siena is going to the finals. Siena's where I graduated from. And a buddy of mine called me. He's like, yeah, Siena's in the finals. I'm in the finals of what? The CBI. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, oh, it's a college basketball invitational. Oh, so these are the people who aren't good enough to make it to the NIT, which is the best of the rest. So, I mean, what are we now? Like, the best of the worst? Is that what?
It's like, you know, we got this arena we're in for another week or so we need some teams. You know,
as a guy who works, I'm going to tell you this. One of the things that I do is I used to be a stagehand. Being a stagehand, I set up basketball tournaments. Okay, like I used to set them up at the scope. So that means we cover up the ice for ice hockey, and then we bring out a basketball floor. It's a pain in the ass. So it could very well be we got nothing going on here. We got a basketball floor set up. Let's make up another fucking tournament.
just
get people in the building, and it works. And some of the people like Siena, you know, in the CBI, what Penn State played. And I don't know what one of the Florida schools played. And so I mean, there's some names that are up there, you know, which I guess brings it legitimacy. But by the same token, it's the third tournament. How many fucking tournaments are you gonna have in March? Nobody gives a shit about the NIT, and that one's been around for years.
Nobody
you
even
know?
Really cares about the women's tournament, to be honest.
No, nobody gives a damn about any tournament. As a matter of fact, nobody gives a damn about the until you get to the Sweet 16, nobody gives a shit about, you know, the first week and a half of games unless there's some huge upset.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you get that big rush that first day when you got like 50 games, right. And then it's dead until the Sweet 16.
Until Duke loses.
Yeah. You know? Sorry, Dennis. That's why you weren't here last week.
I know. I was grieving.
Oh, but I mean, until you get a Duke losing or you get a Stanford upset or something like that, nobody gives a shit. Nobody really gives it. And then here's the thing. Duke lost. And again, sorry, Dennis. But then, you know what? Somebody had the nerve to say, I'll put it on my Facebook page. So what that Duke lost? They're a football school. I was like, how blind are you? How much in the tank are you that you've got to make up a blatant, justifiable lie to yourself to sit there to get past this loss? Duke is not a football school, you idiot. They're a basketball school.
No, they're a football school. They weren't expected to go past, you know.
Are you kidding me? There are people who had them winning. What do you mean they weren't expected, you idiot?
Yeah, the 3 seeds always lose to 14 seeds.
Yeah, that's why people want to be 14 seeds.
Whatever gets you through tonight, Dennis.
No, I wouldn't say that was Dennis. but I saw somebody posted that on my feed, and I literally yelled at my computer. Like, you know, you get those moments where you just yell at your computer.
Yeah, I think that's what this time of year always brings out the non-sports fans to join into these things, because everybody plays the pools in their office or, you know, amongst their friends. And so people who have no clue start making comments about these types of things. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always great to get the casual fans out.
Yeah, I'm less than casual.
You mean you're not heading down to watch Sienna in the final?
I don't even know where the final is. I'm telling you, I didn't even know that they had a. And what's funny is that ODU was in the semifinals, Old Dominion University, which is the other school I graduated from.
That could have been a crucial matchup for you.
Yeah. It could have been Sienna versus ODU, and I'd have been like, yeah, they're in tournaments. I didn't know, and I live four blocks away from ODU. Nobody knows. Nobody even knows that the school that four blocks away, you know, is anybody having a party? Is anybody around here? Hey, come down here and watch ODU play. You know, whoever. No, nobody.
Yeah,
knows.
I think the saturation with these postseason tournaments is so much. I don't even think the local news was covering that ODU was in the CBI.
No.
Man.
No.
I don't think local news knew about the CBI.
They should just call it the CMB tournament because they all they got.
Yeah, exactly.
It's CMB.
The all that's left tournament. You didn't make it in the tournament.
You got to do something for the next week tournament before school starts.
Yeah, exactly, right. But I mean, yeah, Dennis is right. You know, I'm guessing the CBI is a new tournament. I don't know. And there were some pretty prestigious schools in it, but nobody knew. And when you have a school, ODU, who the last two or three seasons have been sucking balls and now are in a tournament, you think that would make some kind of news locally, you know? And nobody knew. They just got beat out in the semifinals. If they'd have won that game, they would be facing Sienna for the CBI championship. So the potential that they were essentially in the final four, the potential being there that ODU might have a chance at its first championship. National championship, and it didn't make news here at all. Come on. Now, how big a tournament is that?
They've been around since, I guess, 08. I'm looking at it.
This is the first time I heard of them.
Yeah, they've been around since 08, and it looks like they're basically just a tournament started by some random group and backed up by Fox Sports. So it's like some... It's like Battle of the Network Stars. It's like some fake made-for-TV tournament.
They probably don't even have the actual basketball teams there. They probably just have students from
intramurals.
You know what's great? It's backed by Fox Sports, and even Fox Sports hasn't been showing it.
Like, no, we got better stuff to do than this. Right.
We got the way back on this one.
We can't do that. The World Cup's coming up in a couple years. We got to start playing these soccer games.
Oh, man. But I did want to talk to you. You talk about surprises. Mm-hmm. You talk about shocking things. There's something that is out there at this very moment, and it's very exciting because I do think it may create the first Kings of Sport, Torres versus Zombies crossover.
Oh my God. I didn't send you the link, did I?
No, but I just saw your Facebook page, and I saw that you spoke to somebody very prominent in that picture.
I spoke to a few people very prominent in that picture, but the man who I spoke to is the best way to put it is the best quote that I ever heard him say, which is, just when you think you got all the answers, I change the question.
Yes, yeah.
The rowdy one, Rowdy Roddy Piper. It was in a movie now. Yes, he's in a movie called Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
and
when I hang up, I'm going to send you a special link so that you can see that movie.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm just looking at the cast list. You got Roddy Piper, Kurt Angle, Matt Hardy.
Yes.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, yes. Shane Douglas, yes. the franchise. Dude, I'm telling you, and I met him. I'm sorry?
Where's the Undertaker in all this? His price tag was high?
Oh, my God. Well, here's the thing. Now, I'm going to say a couple of words to you, and I want you to immediately think of something, all right? Okay. And then say what you think. You ready?
All right. I'm ready.
Pro wrestlers versus zombies.
Undertaker.
No. I heard you chuckle. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, this is the stupidest idea ever.
Exactly. Say what. No bullshit. Don't try to come up. Say exactly what you think. I went to the premiere of this movie knowing it was going to be a piece of shit movie. It's versus fucking zombies. I mean, let's be real. It might as well be grocery clerks versus zombies. It might as well be sanitation workers versus zombies. It's gonna be ridiculous. It's a B movie right from the title. And it's exactly what it is. And if you go in understanding what it is, you're gonna have a great time. It is awesome. It is ridiculously awesome. If you go in there,
do any of the wrestlers actually get turned into zombies during the course of this?
Well, I'm gonna. Okay, spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! In case you can't wait to see this movie.
Yeah, I'm not watching this movie for the script.
Right. They all turn into zombies.
Oh.
With the exception of Rowdy Piper, who's the hero.
So is he basically playing like the same guy from They Live?
No, because he's playing Rowdy Piper.
Okay.
He's Roddy Piper. Everybody is.
So everybody's themselves. All
right, here, let me give you the plot of the movie. Sorry, I chuckled because I said plot of the movie. I'm sorry. Shane Douglas is wrestling this guy. Shane Douglas is the franchise. So anybody who knows Shane Douglas in wrestling as a wrestler knows that he's a bad guy. He's a heel. He does a pile driver on this guy and kills this guy. Turns out that the guy was fucking around with Shane Douglas's girl. So Shane Douglas essentially killed him on purpose in the ring. The guy's brother deals in black magic. So he goes out to this cheesy promoter to do a independent wrestling card in a jail, in an abandoned jail. So, and all the guy wants is, he just wants Shane Douglas. Cause he's got plans to get rid of Shane Douglas, to get his revenge. The guy goes, yeah, well, you know what? To make it legit, how about I throw in Matt Hardy and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Roddy Piper and Kurt Angle? The guy's like, yeah, whoever, I don't give a shit. Bring them all over. So, the brother of the wrestler who was killed, uses some black magic to make zombies. And essentially, everybody who's coming to the show are the wrestlers, the ring crew, the referees, the fans, all become zombies. So, it's them.
Talk about a dead crowd.
Yeah. Somebody hit the drums! Boom, boom! So, and essentially it's them trying to make it through the night. And they all die with the exception of Roddy Piper and Shane Douglas. And then Shane Douglas gets killed by the brother of the guy. So he gets his revenge. And then Roddy kills the guy. And Roddy gets the hot chick who's still alive. Who you're like, come on, Roddy, you're 67 years old. And the girl's 30.
The one that Shane Douglas's chick?
No, it's another chick.
Okay.
So, but it's just funny because you get to see, like my co-host, we normally record on Friday nights and we're not recording tonight because he's watching the movie because we're going to review it. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he sends me a text earlier today. He goes, he DDT'd her. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, what the hell? He's like, yeah, so-and-so, and this is a DDT. No, I'm sorry, not DDT. They Dudley dropped. They Dudley dropped this girl. The zombie. I'm like, what? Yeah, the guy and his girl Dudley dropped this. They 3D'd the zombie. That's what he said, 3D. And I'm like, what the fuck? Drop 3D. And he's like, yeah, Dudley drop. So
that's my question. Like, when they become zombies, do they still have their signature moves?
Yes, yes. Kurt Angle becomes a zombie. He's in the middle of the ring suplexing people. You're a zombie, motherfucker. You can't walk, let alone give fucking, you know, suplexing ankle. He does this one where he, you know, he throws the curtain, the ankle lock.
Yeah.
On somebody, rips the foot right off. Looks at the foot and then just starts beating the zombie with the boot.
I like that.
There's a scene where Roddy Piper is in the kitchen and he's fighting the zombie, and all of a sudden he looks across. There's a coconut.
Oh.
So, you know, shades of 1983 and Piper's Pit, and, you know, him breaking a coconut over Snuka's head. And so if you're a wrestling fan, you see little things like this.
And yeah, it sounds like there's some Easter eggs for wrestling fans. Like, I thought it was just going to be a generic, like, wrestler versus zombie, but it sounds like something that a wrestling fan can appreciate.
Yeah, you can, because again, you know who Shane Douglas is. So you know that he's the franchise. If you ever seen ECW, this is the guy who took the NWA belt and threw it in the trash. You know, so you get what he is, and you see him play this character, and it's great because I interviewed him. Nice guy, intelligent guy, but he gets it. You know who Roddy Piper is. So when you see these little things, you sit there and you're like, oh, this, yeah, I get it, you know? And so it becomes that, and it's fun. You get a Hacksaw Jim, oh, tough guy with the 2x4. You're like, oh, shit, yeah, yeah. So you get it. That's the point. The point is, if you're a wrestling fan and you've been one for a while, I'm not talking about somebody who just got in here with CM Punk and with Daniel Bryan. I'm talking about somebody who's got 15, 20 years worth of wrestling knowledge, who's been watching it, you know? You're going to see this and you're going to get it and you're going to laugh. And it's a shitty film. It is. It's every bit the crap that the title, Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies, makes you think it's going to be. But it's a great ride. So long as you're not expecting, you know, a cinematic masterpiece, you're going to go in there and you're going to watch it and you're going to know it's crap and you're going to laugh with your friends and you're going to enjoy it and you'll watch it again.
So you're basically saying it's just like watching an episode of TNA.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sounded just like Marcus right then, Dennis.
Now, I was flipping through before, and I think I saw a zombie Ric Flair on TNA, so, you know, I made the instant connection.
Yeah, for a while they had Ric Flair and Hogan. Yeah, that was like,
yeah,
that was wrestlers versus zombies. Yeah,
that was. That was old wrestlers versus zombies. That's like, is this a wrestler or a zombie?
I'm surprised Ric Flair isn't in this movie as much money as he needs.
Well, you know, again, like, the guy who directed this, a guy named Cody Knox, he was college roommates with Shane Douglas.
Really?
Yeah. So when he came up with this, you know, Shane pulled some strings and got people to, you know, probably got them on their budget.
Yeah, and Shane and Ric Flair don't really, they don't really see eye to eye.
Oh, no, that's an understatement.
There's a little heat there.
just a little bit.
Well, when one wrestler sits there, you know, his entire life and raises up this belt to be worth something, and the other one literally takes it and throws it in the trash. Yeah, I could see where that could be an issue.
Yeah, we're going to have to check that out because, I'd say I hadn't heard about it until, because I guess Jamie was talking with you about it, and Jamie told me, and I'm like, I got to check this out.
Did he tell you before or after he saw it?
I think he told you before he had went to watch it.
Okay. Because I sent him the link. And I was, like I said, when we hang up, I'll get on Facebook and send you the link.
Yes.
And you can share it with Alfred and Marcus.
Yeah, we'll have to watch it. And then we'll have to come together with us three and then you and
Jamie.
Yes, we have to.
Meet John.
Actually, with Skype, we can do like a six-way, be like a WrestleMania.
That'll be the first six-way I've ever seen with just guys.
Just a big, beefy six-way. Everybody except for Marcus is beefy in that group. Just a lot of beef and a lot of girth.
A big, bear six-way. Big hairy men watching pro wrestlers versus zombies.
Yeah, that's how you should spend a Friday night.
Somehow that seems about right.
it really does.
I think that's what they had in mind when they put that one together.
That's exactly what they did, and what better way to remind ourselves of how lonely we are? Friday night, what are you doing? I'm going to be on Skype with five other guys watching pro wrestlers versus zombies. And then I'm going to cry.
Oh, yeah.
Not if we debark you first.
Ah, nice callback, Dennis. Oh, man. Real quick, before we let you go, Brother Torres.
Yes, sir.
We know you're a big wrestling fan. We can hear it in your voice. We heard it in the promo earlier.
Yes.
WrestleMania is in a couple weeks. A week and a half now, Alfred?
A week?
Yeah.
It's next week. Week from Sunday.
Yeah, week from Sunday. So, are you excited about this year's show?
I am and I'm not. I'm excited because, there's some really, really interesting matches that are coming up. I love the Shield turning face.
The
Wyatts, they really, really have. I mean, I mark out for the Wyatts big time,
that
man.
That thing they did last week with Cena with the mask, that was really well done.
Yeah, so there are people like that who really got me going, really got me interested. But then there's like Triple H. Come on, dude. Do you think Bryant can't do enough of a job that you need to inject yourself into WrestleMania? Get the fuck out of here, bro. Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar against The Undertaker. Let's be real. This is not going to be good either way. Because he wins because it was written in, you know? No one is going to buy that he's going to win. If The Undertaker wins, it takes away from Brock Lesnar's invulnerability.
Well, you know the way they should have done it? Because I think they screwed Brock up from the start. When he first came in, like, he should have been beating everybody by now. But his first match out, they had him lose to Cena.
Yeah.
Think about this as MMA. If he goes into UFC and he fights five matches or four matches or whatever it was over that two-year period, and he goes 2-2, nobody's buying him against Kane. But WWE had control over that, and they could have made him undefeated, and he could have been the hottest commodity going into break the streak.
You would have had Brock streak versus the Undertaker streak.
Here's what you should have had. Fuck the Undertaker. What you should have did was build up a rivalry between Brock and Mark Henry.
Yeah, they wasted Mark Henry.
Because you know what? He's the world's strongest man. He was on a streak for a little bit where he was just ugly, man. He was just beating the shit out of people, not even nicely. You know, and then you have him come out and he gets punked by Lesnar. And then even the Big Show was another one with his knockout punch, just killing people. And now he comes out and he's smiling. No, you should have got, you want to turn the Big Show face. You want to turn Mark Henry face. You build him up against Lesnar. And it makes sense. You know? Lesnar is supposed to be, you know, in the prime. He's a monster. So you get him against a Big Show. You get him against Mark Henry. These are monsters. You know? You don't get him against the old ass Undertaker. You don't.
Well, the Undertaker is not going to be the only old guy at WrestleMania because there is a report that WWE has contacted, quote, every mega draw in the past 3 decades who's living to be at WrestleMania. They've at least reached out to
you. Yeah.
And I know that you're an old school guy, Alfredo, so I just want you to just, you know, go into the time capsule or whatever. Last 30 years or so, who would you just completely mark out to see show up at WrestleMania? Any mega draw in the past 3 decades or just anybody?
Oh, jeez. Okay, give me a second. Because now you got me thinking. Because a lot of people that I would love to see there are dead.
Right.
Who would I like to see? I would like, well, first of all, I know Jake the Snake is going to be there. I would love
you and your wife.
Yes.
Classic Bob's Boneyard bit.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to see Jake the Snake there, because you know what? Jake the Snake is the one person that I don't think was a character. Yeah. You know, Jake the Snake was Jake the Snake. And I think if you met Jake the Snake in the middle of the street, that was Jake the Snake, you know, he would be doing your wife.
And smoking crack.
Yeah, smoking crack. Yeah, so I mean, Jake the Snake, I'd like to see Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
There you go.
I would really like to see him. I would like to see a very angry, very, very pissed off Marty Jannetty.
Oh.
Is there any other type of Marty Jannetty?
Well, yeah, there was the Rockers Marty Jannetty who got stabbed in the back by fucking the Heartbreak Kid. I want
unemployed Marty Jannetty.
Yes, I want a 15-year pissed off Marty Jannetty who's been fucking in the gym working out and just is coming back cock diesel, ready to hurt people. Right. And I want to see China.
Oh.
And I want to see her, not because, well, I've seen too much of her in Backdoor to China, as it was. Her and her 6.5-inch clit. But I want to see her because, you know what? When you talk about the Attitude Era and you talk about DX, China was a big part of it. And because she did the porn, you know, she's been kind of ostracized. And you know what? I don't like the whitewashing. You know, she was part of it. Acknowledge it.
Yeah, she was a big part of it.
Yeah, you just like Chris Benoit. Yeah, whatever he did. But you know what? You don't acknowledge. Yeah, you don't completely disregard what he meant to the sport. I don't give a shit if it's not politically correct.
Yeah, I don't think you celebrate him, but you can't right. not tell the story without talking about his name and talking about him winning the titles and all
and
the great matches.
Man, the guy was an incredible wrestler, but you know what? He was fucked up on steroids or whatever it was, and he killed his wife and he killed his kid, and it's tragic, okay? But from all accounts, you know, and I don't want to get in there, and I don't want people to listen to, oh, well, he said it was okay for him to kill his wife and kids. Well, sometimes, you know, a wife needs to go. But, I mean, I'm not saying that in this case. A joke.
You're not saying you would have killed her.
Right. I'm not saying I would have. I would have paid.
He's like, oh, no. She's like, okay, what if I would have done it?
Right. Exactly. What if I'm not saying I did, but what if I would have? But no, I mean, you can't ignore him. He wasn't Johnny Rods. He wasn't Rick McGraw. He wasn't, you know, the Monkey Brothers. You know. He wasn't, you know, the Brooklyn brawler. He wasn't some jobber. He was one of the most incredible wrestlers of his time. And to
be that successful without even really knowing how to, like, he was terrible on the mic.
Oh my God.
And to make it in the WWE with terrible mic skills, you had to be a hell of a wrestler.
Yeah, exactly. You had to, I mean, look at it this way. Dean Malenko, who was an incredible wrestler, didn't make and definitely on par with Benoit. I mean, they had classic matches, those two in ECW. He couldn't make it because he wasn't as good as Benoit. And both of them had equal horrible mic skills. You know? So, yeah, you just don't wipe them out of the history books. You know, and essentially, to get back to China, that's what they've done with China. Oh, she started porn, you know, she hit the hard times and started porn, and so now we just ignore her part of the legacy.
Funny thing is, though, in that one porn, X-Pac was with her, and because Triple H is kind of running things now, X-Pac is welcome back with open arms.
You look at Hulk Hogan is welcome back with open arms, and he's got a sex tape that just leaked.
With somebody else's wife, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You and your wife.
I think it's more of China's beef with Stephanie McMahon, how that whole thing shook down, that Stephanie McMahon and Triple H had something going on while he was dating China. So now it's like she's the other woman and the most powerful woman in the company doesn't like her. So now she goes away.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But, you know, if I was China, I'd be then, you know what? You had what's left of the dick because I wore it down. That's what I would have said. And like, you know what? You like his size? Guess what? It was 2 inches bigger when I met him, but I wore it down. You could have it.
He used to be quadruple H.
Yeah, exactly. He used to be 4 H's. And you know what? And they were all capital letters. Now you get the 3 lowercase H's.
Did she know him when he was the 4 H club?
Yes.
Oh man, this is yeah. So let's see. So I'm trying to think. Last time you were here, you talked about Dusty Rhodes.
I'm always up for. Let me, dude. His son.
I was gonna say, what have you thought about Goldust?
Oh my! Well, you know, Goldust does DDP yoga, which you knew that was gonna come up at some point. I know you did.
Yeah, you just thought. How long you been doing it?
10 weeks. I just.
Okay.
I'm all about it.
I've been wanting to get into that. How is it?
You know what? Here's the thing. If I followed it to the letter, and I'm not following the diet part, I probably would have lost 25 pounds already.
Wow.
I've only lost 10, but I can pop out 25 push-ups right now in one shot, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you figure when I started, I couldn't do 5. You know, I'm diabetic. I have neuropathy, which is, burning on your nerve endings in your feet and in your hands. And it feels like 1,000 pins that are getting stuck in there. It's extremely painful. And 10 weeks later, I don't feel the neuropathy every night, which I used to go to bed and I'd feel it every night. I can almost touch my toes, which is funny. You know, it's a funny thing to say until you realize, go try to see if you can touch your toes right now. You know, if you're not a person who's extremely active and flexible, you can't. And I could barely touch past my knee. And I'm about an inch away from touching my toes, which means I'm about 2.5 inches away from being able to bend over and put my hand on the floor. That's a big deal for a 47-year-old guy who's been inactive for 15 years. You know?
DDP is just great. Like he's saved Jake the Snake and Scott Hall and.
But it's not even the guys he saved. It's the guys who are wrestling today. Chris Jericho does DDP yoga. Goldust does DDP yoga, and you'll notice it more with Goldust because he's been on TV more than Jericho. But tell me, he's not wrestling like he was in the mid-90s.
I'd say even better.
Right.
Jericho's in the best shape of his life when he was back. Yeah, the 6-pack going on and everything.
Exactly. And they're getting it from DDP yoga. They're not the only ones. You know, what got me started in it is I saw a video that somebody put of a guy named Arthur.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And those of you who listen to the Kings of Sports podcast, look up DDP Arthur. And this was a guy who was look up that video. It's incredible. Talk about motivating. But the thing that got me about it is I'm in constant pain. I've been in pain for years. And I mean, literally, my knees hurt, my shoulder hurts, my back hurts. It's, you know, from not taking care of myself and the stuff that I did when I was younger. And so for years, I would say about the last 8 or 9 years, I've wanted to lose weight. And I've looked at things like B90X and, you know, Billy Blanks and all these guys who do shit. And it's like, I can't do that. You got to be in shape to do that. And then I saw this video with this guy. This guy was in the Gulf War. He was in Iraq. He was a paratrooper. Fucked up his knees and his back from too many jumps. So this guy, I mean, he's a, he was a paratrooper. So you know he was in shape. Ended up becoming almost 300 pounds. Couldn't walk without a brace and without crutches. Started to do DDP yoga. And now this guy's sprinting. You know, he's running. He's standing on one foot and raising the other leg up in the air. You know, he's doing all this kind of stuff. You know, he's dropped 150 pounds or 120 pounds or whatever it was. But as I'm watching this thing, and of course they, you know, they put the tearful music, they got Coldplay's I'll Fix You on it. You're like, oh my God, it's a play on emotion. It really is. But when I looked at it, all I thought was, here's a guy who I know is in pain 24 hours, 7 days a week, just like I was. And look at where he's at. And that's what motivated me.
Yeah, I got to get this damn DDP yoga. I actually saw it. The reason I knew about Arthur, I was up late one night. And I guess it was about a year and a half, maybe two years ago at this point. And I saw the commercial. And this was, matter of fact, this might have been back when it was called YRG.
Yoga for regular guys.
Yeah.
Regular guys, yeah.
Right before he switched it to the DDP yoga. And I was like, you just see the commercial. And the thing about DDP is, like, he's as good as he was, you know, on the mic in the ring, like, that comes across.
Oh, he's DDP. Just like I was saying about Jake the Snake. DDP's DDP. It's a gimmick.
Yeah, I gotta get into this DDP yoga.
Yeah, I'm all about it, bro. If I never lose a pound, I'll still do DDP yoga.
But look, you said you don't follow the diet plan, so now I got this image. You're doing like 3 hours of DDP yoga and then going and eating like 15 hot dogs. That's not how this shit works, Torres.
Yeah, no, shut up. Don't remind me. No, it's like I just eat a lot of crap. Man. I eat a lot of bread, so I've recently given up breads and starches and all that stuff that I know I'm not supposed to be eating, but I'm eating. So I've just started to get on that, and I've actually started to lose a couple pounds now. But again, if I don't lose a pound, I don't care. I feel better. I literally feel better. I'm not in pain 24 hours a day.
I feel like DDP owes us some money now. at least send me a free DVD.
You know what? I got all the DVDs. Which, I don't want to say this on the air. You can feel free to edit this, but I'll hook you up if you want.
hey, we are very fond of nefarious means on this program.
I am Puerto Rican. Not to say anything about the stereotypes.
That's why Mark is in here.
I know. I can't even see his wallet. I don't even know what he's worried about. What does he drive anyway? What does he drive?
He got a new car now. What's he got, Alfred?
Red Mercedes.
Yes.
So what'd you say? I got a Mercedes? Is that what you were saying? I'm sorry.
No, he's got Marcus drives a Mercedes.
No, what I'm saying is I'm going to be driving a Mercedes.
You can use that Puerto Rican judo on him.
I don't know. You don't know if I got a gun?
Exactly.
All I need is an address. He ain't gonna be awake at 4 in the morning.
You need a bus ticket too, because he's out in California.
I know people. according to Justice League, we're all Mexican.
Yeah. Just call your people. Call George Lopez.
That's what I'm saying.
Marcus, you're like, I don't know what happened. Some Mexican came in and hit me with a diamond cutter and stole my car.
He said, bang, motherfucker.
Oh, man. This is fun. You need to come back more often, man.
Well, anytime you guys don't want to talk about sports, you know you can call me.
Speaking of non-sports, what's coming up on your show this week, man?
Well, on this week, we're going to be doing we record, we're a week behind, so the episode that's coming up on Tuesday after the final will have nothing to do with the final. Because we're a week behind. We record on Friday, but the show comes out the following Tuesday. So in this one, we'll be talking about whatever happened last week. I don't even know. That's it. We're the show's coming up. The final will be this week. We'll record that next week, and then after that, it's we got to come up with content, because now that The Walking Dead is gone, we got to come up with zombie shit to talk about.
Yeah, well, we'll have to talk off air and work out some time where we can, like, you talked about schedules earlier. Now we got to get fucking 5-6 schedules together, and we can work this thing out, because I do want to talk with you guys about this movie.
I gotta change my mentality, because, you know what, I'm friends with you guys, I'm friends with, the guys, I don't know, well, yeah, you know Hulkster and those guys on yes. Your wrestling show, you know, I'm friends with Jamie and Mr. Throwback Thursday, which I gotta tell you, I love that. I cannot sell that podcast enough.
Really good show. Like I was telling him last week, like it's, you wouldn't think. Like these two older white dudes.
These two white boys in their 40s. Like, what? And they scared. Dude, I grew up in a sound box. I was there, and I don't know what they know.
Yes.
I learned something every segment they do. I learned something I didn't know.
Yeah, and for me, it just brings back so many memories. Like, Jamie and I get on, it's funny because we'll get on these, I chat with him while I listen to the show. And so we'll get on these rants, and it just brings back so many wonderful memories for me. So I'm really a big fan of that show. I can't sell it enough. But I want to start having some of you guys on, but I don't know how you would feel talking about zombies.
We'll have to think of something like, something zombie and sports related.
Yeah.
Some type of crossover.
Dude, there's a new movie that's coming out. God, I can't think of the name of it, but it deals with soccer and zombies. It's a soccer team. It's a foreign film, and the soccer team is being invited to play. Yeah, of course. United States. Hence why I'm calling it soccer, not football. but it's a this team beat this guy's team. So he's inviting them to this place to play soccer against the team that they beat. Then he turns around and injects his team with something that makes them all zombies. So instead of them running for their lives, they're playing a soccer game against a team of zombies. does a bicycle kick or something like that and just kicks a head off of a fucking zombie to go right
in. I want to see a zombie basketball movie.
You can't see zombies. Why don't you care?
It'll be called the 2014 76ers.
Didn't they just set the record yesterday?
For losing.
Was it 26 in a row?
Yes.
I was watching SportsCenter this morning because I don't watch Fox News in the morning anymore. And I want to say that they own the record now. I want to say they're the most losingest team in the history of that. I'm going to say it because by the time this comes out, they will have lost another one.
They probably lost two or three by then.
Yeah,
that's gotta suck. Like if it wasn't for the millions of dollars and the hundreds of thousands of fans, that would suck to be a 76er.
But you know what? I don't feel bad for them. The Bucks have been losing for years, and their eight fans are disappointed. Nice. You know what?
I think we got one of them here.
Really?
They'll be back when they get loaded up in that draft. They'll be in the NBA finals by next year.
You know the Bucks are bad when the 76ers have lost 26 games in a row and they're still ahead of the Bucks.
That takes some effort. That takes some dedication. That's how you tank, baby.
How about this? What are the odds that I'm the only non-basketball fan to mention the Bucks in the last 20 years, and there was a Bucks fan in the conversation?
Yeah.
Just the fact that I know who the Bucks are shows you how many people don't, and the fact that you were actually in the room when I mentioned the Bucks, you should be happy for that. Losers.
On every week.
But just that somebody mentioned the Bucks.
The fact that the Bucks haven't been relocated should make you happy, Alfred.
Well, who's Milwaukee? Milwaukee's not getting rid of the Bucks, not because they don't want them, because they'll never get another basketball team.
No, they'll never. They should have a hockey team. They don't have a hockey team.
Exactly. How the fuck are you in Wisconsin and you don't have a hockey team?
Yeah, especially out there in the cold. It doesn't make any sense.
No,
I'm surprised. I'm really surprised that the Bucks don't have more sellouts, just because that arena might be one of the few places that has heat all the time.
Yeah,
like I would go to a Bucks game just to be warm.
Maybe that's where they're holding the CBI.
Maybe that is.
Fuck you.
hey, come over here. We got heat.
We got heat and sodas.
We got heat and sodas. That should be their selling point. Your Milwaukee Bucks, we got heat
and some.
Pretty soon it'll be Heat, Sodas, and Jabari Parker.
You mean you got heat like you guys could play? No, like physical heat. Like it's 88 degrees in our arena. Why don't you come over here?
It's not the Miami heat. It's just ventilation.
Well, you know, you're talking about LeBron. LeBron's going to be there, Dennis? You said LeBron and D-Wade are going to be there? No. Heat. A heater. We got a heater.
We got a heater. It's set for 90 degrees. We got a heater. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is...
You're packing heat? You got guns? No, motherfucker. We got a heater. We got logs in the fire.
Is that going to be showing heat with Patino?
No! You got...
Oh, the Harlem Heat is going to be in the building, Stephen Ray, look at me.
What, you got Glenn Frey playing The Heat is On? What is this? Yes, The Heat is On. Don't you feel it? But you know what? No, seriously, the Bucks are they're a good team.
They are a great team. Great franchise.
Yes.
So yeah. Great you had to get out of Milwaukee.
Well, that was my decision. I was just a child. I just followed my chance.
You know what? That was your decision, and that was Jabbar's decision.
I will say everybody that's in Milwaukee, they come to LA eventually. Yeah. Enjoy that, Alfred. I'll let you think about that as we get ready for the next segment.
We'll be around long enough.
But yeah, before you get out of here, Torres, let the people know where they can find the show and enjoy what you and John bring to the table each and every week.
Well, I appreciate it. You can find us definitely on Facebook.
Is that a new site?
Yes, Facebook. It's www.facebook.com, Torres versus Zombies. Go like the page. Every Tuesday we have a thing we call Zombie Podcast Tuesday, and we put links to all of our friends' zombie podcasts, and of course the mothership is Torres versus Zombies. You can check us out on iTunes and on Stitcher and Podbean and all the rest of those podcast carriers. And we are on Twitter at torresversuszombies.com. John runs that, so don't expect much.
I was gonna say, I thought you retired.
Oh no, I retired. Yeah. I retired because there were too many haters after me. There were haters after me, and people like Dennis supported them. Yeah, Dennis would friend them and would retweet the hatred. Like, Dennis, how are you doing this to me? He's like, it's funny.
It is. Like, it was funny.
Ain't nothing funny about a coward, bro. Ain't nothing funny. It's like you're gonna make fun of me. Say who the fuck you are. God damn it, Dennis, you got me started.
Now, see, this is the funny part. Go.
It's my rant. See, here's the thing. I will talk shit about you all day. I will sit there. I say, Alfred, bam. Nate, bam. Dennis, bam. But you know who I am? I'm Alfredo motherfucking Torres. Here's my picture. Here's my name. I don't hide behind anything. This ain't the Silver Fox. This ain't Ronnie Mexico. I did, and the only reason I did that is because I got a real job and I want to keep it. But I got no problem saying my name. I got no problem putting my picture out and saying, you know what? You're a bitch. This one guy would just blast me and like get real serious about it, but wouldn't say who he was. And I was just like, you know what? Stop being a coward. Just tell me who you are so I can go fuck your wife in front of you. You know, so I could fucking shove my fist up your ass and then shove it down your mouth and make you fucking taste your own shit, you piece of crap. But he wouldn't do that because I think he knew deep down inside that I would.
So, well, as luck would have it, we got him right here. Big Nasty, come on out.
Come on. Where you at, bitch? What, Marcus? His real name was Marcus?
That's why Marcus never shows up when you're around.
Yeah, and Marcus and that guy never tweet at the same time either.
No, they don't.
Don't, you know what? Don't make my paranoid Illuminati hating ass fucking
put 2 and 5 together and get 4. Cause you know I'm looking to fucking make the, I'm looking to make the fucking round peg fit in the square hole.
And he works for Yahoo, so he's got media sources. He can find you.
Don't.
Is going to get trolled tonight.
Don't make me find him. Don't make me have to confront him and go, Marcus, you know who I am? I heard some shit about you, bro. That's one answer. Was it you, Marcus? Was it you? That's all I want to know. All right, shit got real. Let's get started.
ended on a serious note right there.
No, but that's why. You can find us on the Twitter machine at Torres versus Zombies, and John takes care of that. And and that's it, you know. And then around every now and then, people like you have me on to remind us as to why you guys keep me at bay.
You know, every now and then we got to go to the pod, Father.
Oh, jeez. Jeez.
We'll definitely have to holler at you and get something going for this pro wrestlers versus zombies, because that sounds ridiculous.
Hey, I'm sending you the link. You will find out how ridiculous it is by the end of the weekend. I'm sending you the link right now. Dennis, you want a little bit of that too?
Absolutely, why not?
Okay, cool. So I'll send it to all you guys. Well, I'll send it to you, Nate. You send it to Alfred and to Marcus. Yeah. So that you guys can watch it.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, thanks for having me, man.
No,
I always have a great time with you guys.
Always a good time.
All right, I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, brother, that's right. Alfredo Torres. We are the Kings of Sport, and we'll be back right after this. Good stuff.
What's your one-stop home for your pop culture needs? Of course, PlaceToBeNation.com. We have everything you could ask for when it comes to pop culture. Now first, wrestling. We're definitely your hookup for all show recaps, including Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor, all of WWE's other programs as well. We have previews, live blogs, breakdowns for all of WWE and UFC pay-per-views. You want sports? No problem. PlaceToBeNation has extensive articles on football, basketball, MMA, boxing, and baseball. From Andrew Reich's history lessons to the return of the hack to the Cowboys call, we have the best in comprehensive sports knowledge and opinions. With a loaded staff of hardcore pop culture writers, we also specialize in comics, TV, music, movie pieces. Of course, you can't forget Jen and Justin's journey through the 90s. You want podcasts? Well, look no further than Place to Be Nation, the home for the best catalog and variety of shows you'll find anywhere on the net. There's the Place to Be podcast, where the big boys play, the Brad and Chad show, Wrestling with the Past, Titans of Wrestling, Goodwill Wrestling, Richard and the Mailman, Grapple Talk, and the Kings of Sport with our good friend Nate Milton. I want to take a second to thank our supporters and ask you to check out their great sites. Graham Cawthon and the History of WWE.com, a complete archive of wrestling shows throughout history. Also our friend Dave at TWFnews.com, your home for wrestling news updates and great conversation. Also check out PiledriverWrestling.net for all the latest wrestling news and the home of the great Old School Wrestling Review podcast and much more. And while you're at it, if you want to chat with fellow fans about wrestling's past and present, check out Scott Keith's blog at rspwfaq.com. So for everything you need, your pop culture fix, check out placetobenation.com, the only place to be in the pop culture world.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/ the Kings of Sport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
And we are back on the Kings of Sport. Dennis, Nasty, and Nate closing up shop for yet another week. But before we do that, we gotta give you what you want. We gotta give you what you need. And what you want and what you need is the often imitated but never duplicated segment 4. It's what we give you every week. It's the kind of potluck, the hodgepodge of all the latest and greatest, craziest stories out there in the world of sports, pop culture, entertainment, whatever. It's just a, it's like a ratchet casserole. Because we take all the best ratchetness in the week, Alfred, and we throw it in a pot and give it to the people.
Absolutely. Add a little crack in there when Marcus isn't looking.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a cracky tail this week.
Oh, man, I was hoping for
it. Sometimes, you know, you can't force a crack tail. I mean, last week, Marcus sent me a message on Facebook after I told him the rundown for the show, and he was like, we got more non-crack users in the Crack Hall of Fame than actual crack users. I'm like, it's an umbrella term, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They got rappers, yeah, and folk singers and blues artists. The Crack Hall of Fame welcomes all users.
It's known for its indiscriminate.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you know a user even part of the time, tell them to quit. Take a bite out of crime, as McGruff would say. Oh, but we, speaking of crime, that's where we start this week. We always like to be nice to our guests. So, Brother Dennis, you and I just kind of stumbled on this crazy story, and Nasty doesn't know about it yet. So I'm interested to see his reaction to this ratchetness.
All right. Well, everybody's favorite football player busted for hit and run in a cyclist accident. No, it's not Halle Berry. San Francisco 49ers cornerback Chris Culliver made a horrible situation way worse when he allegedly drove into a bicyclist, threatened a witness with brass knuckles, and then fled the scene, all of which landed him in jail. San Jose police say Culliver hit the bicycle rider shortly after 10 a.m. today, but when he drove away from the scene, a witness followed him and eventually cornered Culliver, which doesn't seem very smart.
No.
Police say the Niner was brandishing brass knuckles when he got out of his vehicle to confront the witness, but eventually got back in his car without incident and fled again. Cops eventually caught up to Culliver and arrested him. He was booked for felony hit and run, weapons possession, and reckless driving. The cyclist, by the way, was treated at a hospital for minor injuries. So we all know Chris Culliver, obviously the same guy who said he wouldn't welcome gay players into the locker room. And I guess that's pretty much how he would treat them if they came into the locker room, I guess.
Well, he's about to be treated a whole similar way if he got welcomed into a jail cell. So,
first of all, can we just say, like, even though what Chris Culliver said was reprehensible, it was not the worst or the most entertaining. I think that still goes to Tim Hardaway. I hate gay people. Like, just the hatred and the funniness, the silliness of it. Just I hate, because you know Tim Hardaway speak with a little bit of a lisp anyway.
Yeah.
I hate gay people.
And I imagine he threw a monitor right after that happened too.
Yes. Oh, Timmy. But yeah, go ahead, Big Nasty.
No, that's an insane story. And then Chris Culliver, it's like the guy can't catch a break in the headlines in the media. And I don't know if this is, again, this is more of the NFL player. When he is subject to be unloaded on normal everyday society, does not know how to act, and I will insist that this is PTSD. There needs to be investigation on PTSD in the NFL, and until they do that, all these stories are just going to pop up, and everybody's going to act like they don't know why NFL players don't know how to act.
My thing is, there's a lot of things that don't add up in this story, Dennis. First of all, how do you hit a bike at 10 o'clock in the morning, man?
I don't know.
This wasn't the night. He wasn't drinking, I don't think. How you just hit a bike at 10 o'clock in the morning? He's in San Jose, right? So I'm assuming in San Jose, correct me if I'm wrong, Alfred, it's not like this. That's not a big biking community. I would suspect that you got a lot of joggers and bikers and folks like that in San Jose.
Maybe he went to the Dante Stallworth driving school or something.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. At least he didn't go to the Dante Stallworth hot air balloon course.
Yeah.
The other thing that surprises me and makes me scratch my head, when the witness, who, as we mentioned, was kind of an idiot for chasing Culliver down, when the witness confronted him, Culliver went to the car and retrieved a pair of brass knuckles. 2014, who's still carrying around brass knuckles, man, besides a bad guy in pro wrestling? Like, seriously, when the last time somebody rolled up on you with a pair of brass knuckles that is under the age of 40?
I think he just walked off of a double dragon.
You know. Yeah, he got one guy with the brass knuckles, one guy with the nunchucks.
Yeah, then the baseball bat and the whip.
You have right next to the slingshot, too.
But yeah, this is like, what are you making this guy, Dennis? Do you see this as just a pair of bad coincidences, just bad luck, or is this maybe the first signs of something deeper that's wrong with this dude?
Now, you know, sometimes some people are just brass knuckleheads and you really can't do anything about them. So I think he's just an idiot. So he was bound to get in trouble. So trouble will find you eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talk about all the elements that don't add up to the story. Well, this dude just doesn't add up. So, I mean, if it wasn't this, it was going to be something else. And it's good that it's something that ended up on TMZ Sports and not Time Magazine, because it would be a whole different discussion.
That would be the worst Time Magazine cover story ever.
Chris Culliver on the cover?
And I look, and it'd probably be like a racist editor too, and they'd like have a picture of him holding up the brass knuckles, and the title headline would be Brass Monkey. I almost took my headset off and dropped the mic on that one. Brass Monkey. That funky monkey. Oh yeah, send us your racist Time Magazine headlines.
I don't think it's gonna top that. I mean, you could try the cinnamon, but
oh man, but I got another story. I don't know if it's as good as that story, but again, it features a California athlete, your boy brother Alfred, and brother Dennis, Nick Young.
Oh boy.
A.K.A. Swaggy P, yes, recently had his house burglarized. And nobody likes to be burglarized. You know, it's like Alfred said at the top of the show, you know, you feel violated. You call Dennis Haysbert to come in and you need Allstate. But if anybody can feel Nick Young's pain about being, you know, burglarized, it's Omarion. Because TMZ Sports reported that the R&B singer was also burglarized last year, living in the exact same L.A. house. It's a house out in Studio City, and it was before Nick Young had moved in there. I guess Omarion moved out early 2013, and Nick Young moved in during the summer. And the burglars apparently took $63,000 worth of jewelry that belonged to, $6,300. That's a little bit different. A little bit different. $6,300. I should have stuck with the bigger number. It made the story better. $6,300 worth of jewelry that belonged to Omarion's girlfriend, and the bad guys were never caught. And now the house has been struck again, and this time the burglars were a little bit more bolder because they rolled off with $200,000 worth of Swaggy P's goods.
Oh my gosh.
And the cops are exploring the theory that maybe, just maybe, it was done by the same gang of crooks. So yeah. What do you think about this, Big Nasty, and your boy Nick Young?
Well, I'm glad that he's safe and sound and that there are no weapons involved, but I mean, this is pretty, he probably wants to move to the, you know, Burbank, or just get out of Studio City. Maybe
he
go
probably
to
wants
Valley
to move to Compton
like
at this point.
Yeah, exactly, where it's safe.
Let me move to Crenshaw.
Man, well, I got two things to say about this, actually. First of all, Nick Young's salary this season is $1.1 million, so what the hell is he doing with $200,000 worth of stuff that could be stolen? That doesn't make any fiscal sense right there. And the other thing is, has anybody looked into the real estate agent yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on, why is that real estate agent wearing a ski mask and a Century 21 vest? Doesn't add up. I knew I shouldn't have trusted Pookie's Realty.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it really real. Yeah, and the other thing is, man, what wouldn't, like, is this something, like, you know how they got Carfax for cars, Dennis? Don't they have something similar for houses? Like, you can tell if a house has been burglarized or vandalized or something like that?
I think it's called a police report.
Yeah, like, why wasn't, like, if you're Swaggy P, like, I know he's not the one physically out there checking out the house, taking out the property, but shouldn't his people have been like, so what's the crime like in this area?
I think with houses, the only thing you have to report is if somebody died in the house, that that's something that has to be reported. But other than that, it's like few and far between as far as getting that type of detailed analysis on a house.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm reading the story. Apparently there was a report. Omarion did give a statement to the police, back when his house was hit. Apparently he was like, I got an icebox where my safe used to be. Icebox where my safe used to be. So broke. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that entire story was just a setup so I could do that. Because that's what you do when you have your own podcast. You can do silly things like that.
Is our audience going to remember Icebox?
I don't know. You're like our audience skews. I've looked at the numbers. Like our audience is like from 25 to 40, 45 maybe. And it's predominantly male, predominantly in the U.S. and Canada, and surprisingly predominantly white.
There you go.
So, yeah. But, yeah, so maybe they've heard Icebox. I don't know any other Omarion songs, so that's...
If not, they can Google it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember on the greatest memory I have of Omarion is that first Cat Williams special. I don't know if you remember, he was like, the first time I met Omarion, I tried to talk to this dude.
And he's always dancing.
He always dances. He's like, oh, touch what? Oh, I love Cat Williams before he went crazy.
No, he's even funnier after he went crazy, I'm telling you.
Okay, because this story pretty much, we talked about everything needs to be talked about with this story, but let's talk about Cat Williams right quick, because my ex and I used to die over this one clip he had, where he challenged somebody to a fight. And I think it was like someplace, I don't know if it was in L.A. or wherever, St. Louis, wherever, but there was a statue of Jack London outside. And Cat started just antagonizing the crowd, and he started rapping or rhyming rhythmically and threatening people at the same time. So he was like... You think that I'm joking. You think that I'm fronting. Well, meet me out front by that statue of Jack London. And he could tell, like, the people didn't really get the joke. So he was like, meet me out front by that statue of Jack London. Or, I'm going to take you out in the street, and then we'll see who's going to get beat. Like, he had to bring it down to a street level. Because nobody knew who Jack London was, even though there was a big statue of him outside. Like, yeah, Cat Williams is, he's a fascinating character, and Jay Farrow does a pretty good impression of him on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he does a lot of good ones.
And he's from, I think he's from Portsmouth or Virginia Beach.
Oh, yeah.
He's a 757 guy. Shout out to Jay Farrow. Maybe we can get him on the show one week.
It's your hood, man. Yeah. I'll leave it up to you.
I might have to use Dennis. I might have to start using Dennis as our connection guy.
Yeah.
People don't trust me. I don't know, for some reason. People either don't trust me or don't take me seriously. But Dennis has a face that is not only trustworthy, but it is responsible.
I said, let the light skin mafia handle this one.
They're like, how did we get Pharrell? Well, you know. Hey, we gonna live like it's a room without a roof. All right, so yeah, we're winding things down, but this is a pretty good show. I'm happy with the effort we put out tonight.
Very good job on all fronts.
Yeah. Good job, Dennis, stepping up.
Yeah, it's fun.
Second time guest co-hosting.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Especially
that segment with Torres, very exciting.
Yes. let me tell you, like I love Torres because the this is the second time in a row, and I'll probably stop doing it from now on. Like, when I block out the shows, I time the segments out because I don't want them to be too long and I don't want them to be too short. So I'm like, okay, I want our shows to be right around 70 to 90 minutes. And I'm like, okay, so let's put this much for the A block, this much for segment four. Let's give Brother Torres about 30, 40 minutes. We went almost an hour, or over an hour, excuse me. With Brother Torres tonight. And the same thing happened last time because you can never finish a conversation with Torres because there's always a great story to be told. And it's like, you know, you never want to stop listening to those stories. So Torres, he will be back on the show one of these days. Not before we get a female because that is the TJ McClune rule. PJ McClune-Claus. Dennis.
Hey, PJ, hang in there, buddy.
Yeah, if you're wondering, Dennis only escapes the TJ McClune-Claus because he is a co-host. He is not a guest. He has only made one guest appearance on the show and two co-hosting appearances.
Oh, there you go.
So Dennis escapes the TJ McClune-Claus. Who, shout out to TJ who did hit us up this week, and I think he said it'd be a scary sight because our ultimatum to TJ was if he wanted to come back on the show, he'd have to, you know, become Tanisha McClune. And he said it'd be a scary sight. So hopefully we can get a lady in here. I said a lady, like I'm like, what am I, a madman? Hopefully we can get a dame in here one of these days.
So talk about sports, sweetheart.
So we can get TJ back on sometime here after WrestleMania and the tournament, all this good stuff.
I'll work on Jamel for you.
Yeah. Work, especially if Michigan wins. Oh, I think I just realized that you guys have like not really said anything for like the last 2 minutes. You just let me twist in the wind out here.
Man, we just let it roll.
Do it live. But before we get out of here, Dennis, again, thanks for stepping in and filling the light skin quota this week. Dork Trek is back. They had a big show this past week. Let people know about that and where they can find you and let you know how good they enjoyed you, how much they enjoyed you this week, or give you some racist Time Magazine headlines.
Well, yeah, Dork Trek is on its way back. We're recording episodes now. They'll be released probably in the next couple of weeks. We'll start letting them out. But we did do a live YouTube broadcast of an episode, and it was a lot of fun, and we had some people viewing it, and they seemed to enjoy it. So we'll probably be doing some more of that in the future. So check it out at Dork Trek on Twitter. Also can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found.
Big Nasty.
Go ahead and follow me at This Is Nasty. Go on Bleacher Report, read my articles, watch my shows, WWE, WTF, and Raw Review. I'll be all over the place for WrestleMania week. So just, I'm not a hard man to find. Just look for me.
And you can follow Marcus Vanderberg at The Other Light Meat on Twitter. You can follow Marcus at Marco Will on Twitter and Instagram. See what happens when you miss a week, Marcus? You can also follow me in the number 8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow all of us, Cospod, KOS_POD on Twitter. Facebook.com, / The Kings of Sport. Like the show, review it, share it with your friends. And I think that's going to do it for this week. Oh, don't forget to check the link on the Facebook page, and also we're going to retweet it. If you're in the market for anything, electronics, clothing, accessories, a pair of brass knuckles, and you want to pick them up through Amazon.com, go through us. Help us help you help us, because when you go through the Kings of Sport to buy what you would normally buy on Amazon.com, they hit us up, they show us a little bit of love, and that allows us to keep on giving you these excellent shows with a question mark.
All right, Ron.
Yeah, I'm the Godfather.
Ron Burgundy.
But help us help you help us, and it'll be good time. So next week, I believe we're not going to have a regular episode, Brother Alfred. We're going to have a WrestleMania preview show.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Google Hangout.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Very similar to our SummerSlam show, which we did, which was a huge success.
Yeah, our first return to Google Hangout since we did our SummerSlam show. So not only will you get to hear us, but you'll get to see us. And it'll be fun. It'll be a good time. And, we are on the road to WrestleMania. It's had some bumps, but I think we're in the home stretch. So it should be a really interesting and fun show next week that Dennis will probably skip. He's not about that life.
No, I'll check it out, man.
Yeah,
I'll hang out with you guys. Just make sure you use the rim shot.
Oh, you don't, like, when I get on Google Hangout, all of a sudden I turn into Michael Winslow with all the sound effects up there. I had like the Ric Flair, we had like a Ric Flair soundboard up for our SummerSlam show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and like just like Alfred would say something, and all of a sudden you hear, last year I spent more money on spent liquor and bars from one side of the country to another than you spend on your entire, than you make in a year.
My shoes cost more than your entire house.
I live on the big house on the big side of town.
I got 600 suits. Say I'll be back again.
I guess you could say I pretty much got things just the way I like it. This symmetry, though. We began the show talking about Ric Flair quotes, and we're going off the air talking with Ric Flair quotes.
And I'm going to YouTube to go watch some Ric Flair promos.
I got caught in that trap. I watched Ric Flair for an hour one day. They've got like all of his promos in it from NWA, and I mean, amazing. Golden Spoon is one I recommend above all.
That one-hour clip that's on YouTube?
No, there's plenty of them, but like,
there is a one-hour clip, and that one got me one time.
Oh, because there's like, it's just a bunch of them chopped up. Is that what you're talking about? They're like each like probably 2.5 minutes, so there's probably like 30 or 40 promos on there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dale good. Murphy, he's a real big guy out here. Herschel Walker. Oh I think I too am going to get sucked into the Ric Flair vortex for the next 20 minutes or so. So that's what we're going to be doing, and we'll catch you back here next week. You guys come back and join us. DBA, thanks for stopping by. Be sure to check him out on Dork Trek, and we'll talk to you down the road, brother.
Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Thanks, Dennis.
So, for Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham, for Dennis, Black and Asian, I am the Godfather Nate Milton, and you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.